Before I start, I was delighted to hear from the young people and all of that wonderful stuff that's going on, but I would like to tell them that some of the older members are on Facebook. We do have Tweet, and the Xavier Society has had a Facebook account for a couple of years now, so we are present. Since I have the microphone, I'm going to take a second for a quick commercial announcement. Remember, after this meeting, when we adjourn, we close the betting for the horse race. You cannot buy a horse race ticket at the banquet because we've got to go out and figure the odds and do all of that stuff. So when you leave this hall this afternoon, if you haven't bet, you lose. And so please don't forget that. Also, I'm pleased to announce that thanks to Carl's urgings, I have sold out of my CDs. Yay! However, I'm taking orders. Several people have bought CDs and paid me the money, and we will send them out from the office in New York first thing Monday morning. So if you really wanted one, it's not too late. All right. Carl told me to talk very quickly because we're running late, so I'm going to just zip through this. I have a number of friends who are married, and I have discovered over the years that one sure way to get them talking is ask them about their children. Just be sure you're sitting down and you've got some free time. Because no matter whether the news is good or bad, by God, parents will always have something to say about their children. Yeah. Well, I don't have any children, but I am the chairman. Oh, clean it up now, Margot. Clean it up. It's the dirtiest laugh I've heard in a week, you know. And I live with Jesuits, so, you know, we've got... But I am the chairman of the Xavier Society for the Blind. And my little darling is 113 years old. We'll be 114 in January. And I can talk about my little darling at the drop of a hat. Fortunately, it's all good news at the moment, no bad. And I'd like to start by making an official announcement. The news release will go out next week, and the letters are going out to people. This is the first time it's ever been said in a public forum, and this makes it official. The Xavier Society for the Blind is moving to new quarters. We will be closing our offices temporarily on November 8th. We will move our offices physically on November 16th. And if all goes well, we will reopen for business on Monday, November 25th. Now, during the time that we are closed, we will be taking phone orders and messages, but we will probably not be filling any library requests during that two-week period. We've sold our building. Yay! We got a lot of money. Yay! And we are going to be leasing space with the American Foundation for the Blind. So our new address will be 2 Penn Plaza, right above Madison Square Garden. I see a lot of basketball and ice hockey in my future. We are not merging, like the Lighthouse and the Jewish Guild. We're just renting space. But Carl Augusto is an old friend, and I am hoping that in the future we will be able to work out some projects together. Now, we're in the process of moving from a building of 15,000 square feet to a place where we have 2,500 square feet. We've been in the building for 65 years. So this is not a simple process. We are changing how we do things. We've been doing that for the last couple of years now. And we are prepared to be very flexible as we adapt to these new quarters. As you know, we discontinued our large print operation. We gave away something like 3,000 books in large print. Although the Mass Propers, the Xavier Review, and the Catholic Review continue to be put on the website in print every month or as they come out, so people can read them online or download them to their own computers for screen readers or however they want to do that. We've modified our Braille library as well, so we no longer store Braille books. In fact, we have given away all of our existing Braille books to two schools in Ghana. And so now we emboss the books as clients ask for them. We send them out and we say, you can keep those. And if they don't want to keep them, we encourage them to give those books away to other people. So rather than having a lot of Braille books sitting on shelves, they're out there circulating and hopefully will be available to more people. We continue to focus on adding more Braille children's books to our inventory. We are adding more modern writers to our inventory. But I am here to say it, and I've said it before, and I continue to say it, Braille remains our primary commitment and where we will continue to focus our energy. Now, we also have a large audio library. We no longer send out periodicals on CDs. Like many of the other libraries, we went from cassettes to CDs. And we decided not to go with the NLS cartridges, although we have the capacity to deal with those. But audio publications are available now online, and people can download them directly. So the turnaround time is almost instant. As soon as we get a periodical, it's available for our readers. We are sending out the audio version of the Mass Propers, the Xavier Review, and the Catholic Review on CDs, at least for the time being. We have closed our recording studios. We do not do any more recording on premises. We have volunteer readers who read from home. If they don't have a recording program at home, we send it to them. We send them the headset mic. The quality is not as good as it was when we had the studio, but you know, these are periodicals. This is not material that's going to be passed on to the grandchildren. And so rather than having a large turnaround time, we used to get periodicals out in 2 weeks maybe, now it's instant. And it means when it snows in New York, the studios don't have to close, because I have readers in Alabama, in Arizona, in Colorado, in Florida. A couple of weeks ago, I signed up a guy who lives in Ireland who's going to be reading for us. They work when they have time, and you know what that means? They get a lot more work done than somebody who has to come in to our studios, and so we can produce up to the 12 magazines very quickly. We're working with the Commonwealth Braille and Talking Book Cooperative in Australia, and what they are doing is they are taking copies of our audio materials, and they are adding them to their library, so we get a wider reach, and they are putting them into DAISY format and sending them back. So that eventually all of our audio will be in DAISY. Won't that be fun? First book they're working on is The Library. Now, we've got a long list of books, so it's not going to happen overnight, but we are working our way through this. And as a reminder, if you're not a client of the Xavier Society, of course, we'd love to have you, but we are an NLS affiliate library. You can interloan. So if you're an NLS member, you can get books from our library as well. Just as a matter of record about the Xavier Society for the Blind, we have 5 employees now, not counting me. I'm not an employee. I don't get a salary. I don't even get sub-minimum wage. But we have 5 employees, and 2 of the 5 are visually impaired. We have 11 board members, and 2 of the board members are blind. One is legally blind, one is almost fully blind, just so that that's out there. In all of this, we are discovering new ways to expand and fulfill our mission. This year, we're going to be helping to coordinate a series of spiritual retreats aimed specifically for blind participants. Adequate Braille signage, participants will get layout descriptions before they arrive. All the material for the retreat will be produced in Braille. And hopefully, by anticipating special needs, this will make it easier for those who attend to relax and pray and just spend time with God. Now, we're still negotiating specific locations, but it looks as though the first 4 retreats will be in Philadelphia, Louisiana, Ohio, probably Columbus or Cincinnati, and Colorado. Yes, it is not a coincidence that 3 of the locations are where there are also training centers and workshops for the blind. Now, once we've done the first 4 and we get a sense of what the problems are and how to do it better, then we're going to go to retreat centers, retreat organizations, and help them organize similar retreats so that this movement can hopefully spread across the country, and we will be the people who will continue to provide the Braille material. In New Orleans, very exciting development, the local bishop in New Orleans has approved a blind seminarian to study for priesthood. There are lots of blind priests, but they were ordained as sighted, and then they lost their sight along the way. I only know of 1 other priest who was ordained when he was blind. So we've been working hard to support this man, providing him with Braille versions of the books and documents, helping to find funding for his studies and for his other needs. And one of our projects is to find a way to bring him to Orlando for the convention this summer. We think he would have a kick being dropped in the middle of that circus. Speaking of theologies, we are expanding our efforts to reach out to theologates, seminaries, and centers. They don't usually get very many blind students, but when they do, providing resources and textbooks can be a real challenge. And we would like to be the go-to guy so that when a blind student shows up at Princeton Theological, they call us. We've had several conversations with them, and we're reaching out to other centers so that we can do the same thing for them. Of course, each time we Braille a textbook or a religious work, we then have it. And it becomes easy to deliver it for other libraries, other theologates, and most schools have similar curricula. So a book that's required in one place is probably going to be required in another. Next week, we are sending a letter to every bishop, every Catholic bishop in the United States, to remind them of the services that we are providing, and the services that we can provide to people in their diocese. We want to be sure that they're aware that we exist. Somebody earlier talked about being the best-kept secret in the business, and I sometimes think that means us. But we want to remind them that we do not charge for our services, and so we would like to remind them we encourage their support and their help. In other words, send cash. So, you know, the reports of our death are premature. In fact, my little child is doing fairly well. Sort of like going through adolescence, we are experiencing growing pains. We are starting to look at the world in new ways. We don't look as the same as we did a couple of years ago. You know how quickly children can grow? Well, we're going through one of those growth spurts. We are doing things we would never have imagined, even 5 or 6 years ago. And I don't think we're done growing. I think the next years are going to be very exciting. But no matter what happens, at least as long as I have anything to do about it, Braille will remain our first priority. We will continue to do everything in our power to provide services at no charge. And we will continue to look to groups like the National Federation of the Blind for information and assistance and quite honestly, inspiration. I am, as always, proud to have been asked to come. I am, as always, proud to be able to speak to you, proud to be associated with you, and I'm proud to be a member of the NFB. I am also, well, yeah. Like any parent, I am also pretty proud of the Xavier Society for the Blind. As we say in the trade, thank you and God bless you.
What can I say? Now, and you got me back on schedule. Quick question.
Yes, my child.
Yes, sir. You
said you were reaching out to seminaries, and you said all the Catholic seminaries, but then prior to that you said Princeton. Are you reaching out to all the seminaries?
All seminaries. Theological.
Union, Yale, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Chicago.
No, because they all tend to use pretty much the same related or if similar or even identical texts. You know,
Augustine is not rewriting himself.
No, I mean, my graduate degree was in what we call on our side the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures.
Right.
And those books are all pretty much the same.
They
haven't
been rewritten in a long time.
No, they haven't touched those. So, yes. No, we're reaching out across the board.
Very good. Excellent. We'll actually get the word out to more people.
Well, and you know, one of the things I say, everybody says, oh, you're Catholic. I say, yes, we are. We are definitely Catholic. But our library has works from Protestant writers and Jewish writers and writers we don't know what they are. Sometimes even after we read the book, we don't know what they are. So, and that's, you know, a spirituality that sidesteps some of the theology, which is always good. Okay.
I like it for many reasons.
Yay.
All right, folks, Father will be around.
Carl is a member of our board of directors at the Xavier Society for the Blind.
That's so. The blind guy he was referring to. You can ask Father lots of questions for the price of a horse race ticket. The more you buy, the more you can ask.
Hold on.
Okay, Laura, I have a question from Laura. Laura, somebody will get Laura on mic in a second. Hold on, Laura. Okay, I'll get you in a second. Right after Laura. Okay, I've got Laura and Neville, and then Father was kind enough to put us back on schedule, and let's see if we can stay there.
I have two questions for Father John. I don't know if I had a lapse, but will you be publishing the propers in Braille?
Oh, we publish the propers in Braille every month.
Oh, okay. No change there, then.
No change there. Absolutely
okay.
Not.
And will you be outside here selling horse race tickets?
I have a table just to the right of the door as you exit, but it's still inside this room.
Okay.
And I will be making lots of noise when the session is ended so you can find me.
Thank you very much.
I will
much.
Be selling horse race tickets and taking orders for my CDs. And if you don't want to buy either, just give me money and I'll give it to Carl.
Right. Buy the CDs. They're great. Buy the CDs. And the horse race tickets, of course.